Welcome to The Spark. I'm Scott Lamar. Raven Ridge Wildlife Center is a wildlife rehabilitation facility in Washington Borough in Lancaster County. It offers rehabilitation services for injured raptors, mammals, and waterfowl. Raven Ridge also provides wildlife education programs as well. Just in the last month, two bald eagles have died after ingesting lead. That usually happens after an eagle has ingested lead from the carcass of an animal that was killed by a hunter. We're joined on The Spark today by the founder, director, and rehabilitator, Tracy Young. Tracy Young, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So what killed those two eagles?
Lead poisoning. And we get more birds of prey, especially bald eagles, during or at the end of hunting season. And it comes from sportsmen that are using lead shot. So whether they field dress the deer out in the field and leave pieces behind, or if the sportsman is unable to find what they just shot at and it dies somewhere, that's an easy meal for birds of prey and eagles. And when they ingest that lead, it's bad news for them.
You've been encouraging hunters to use non-lead ammunition. What are their alternatives?
There's copper, there's steel, there's bismuth. There are alternatives out there. The problem with lead is it's easy to get. It's cheap. A lot of sportsmen make their own ammunition at home. So lead is able to melt at a very low temperature. But the copper, the steel, the bismuth, it is a little more expensive. But what I explain to the sportsmen is when you use the alternative, the copper, the steel, the bismuth, when you hit your target, that bullet stays 99% intact. So you're able to remove the entire bullet from, you know, what you're hunting. As far as lead, when lead hits the target, it fragments anywhere from 12 to 14 inches from, you know, point of impactment. And that goes all through the meat. And it's physically impossible to remove every piece of lead in the meat. So it's not good for the sportsmen, too, that are consuming the game meat and using lead ammunition.
It's been my observation that most hunters are very respectful of the outdoors and wildlife in general. Some people may find that counterintuitive, but let's face it, bald eagles are even on a higher level as far as respect from people go. So with that all said, has your message been getting across?
It has. You know, we're not anti-hunting, anti-gun, none of that. You know, my grandfather was a hunter. And, you know, we'd go to deer camp during the summer. But a lot of the sportsmen that support Raven Ridge Wildlife Center, you know, they're the ones that are bringing a lot of the animals that they find that are injured. The sportsmen, what they spend on sporting equipment, tags, permits, license, that all goes back into our environment. So yes, the sportsmen care deeply about the animals and about our environment. But a lot of the sportsmen that I talked to had no idea that, you know, this lead in this game meat can also affect them. There were some sportsmen that I was talking to that, you know, I was explaining to them about the different, you know, symptoms of lead poisoning in people. And, you know, headaches, nausea, the list just goes on. And they really had no idea. They're like, you know, I've been to the doctor and we just can't find out what is actually going on. They can't find a diagnosis. And I asked them, have you been tested for lead poisoning? And it's kind of like the light bulb goes off. And a lot of these sportsmen do donate game meat and venison to us. We will accept it happily as long as the lead ammunition was not used.
So what impact, what symptoms, what illnesses does it cause to an eagle or another, raptor type bird, or even mammals, I guess, that would eat something that contained lead shot?
Right. So the lead poisoning involved eagles is very debilitating. The birds that come in with the lead poisoning, they're weak, they're emaciated, they're uncoordinated. They're not able to move. They can't fly. They can't walk. They look like they're stargazing, like they're just kind of looking off into space. They have seizures. They haven't eaten. They appear blind. And, you know, if you can walk up to a bald eagle, there's something wrong. So they're uncoordinated. A lot of times they're hit by cars because they're hungry, but they're not coordinated enough to hunt. So they're looking for an easy meal. And it only takes the size of two little BBs for an adult bald eagle to ingest. And if that is not caught in time, or this bird brought to a rehab center like Raven Ridge, that will kill the bird.
How do you rehabilitate a bird that is in that dire of condition?
Well, we have a lead testing kit here on site. So as soon as we are starting to see some of these signs, the shaking, the eyes going, can't stand, falling over, we do the blood work right here on site. It'll let us know what level of lead we're looking at for the bird of prey, which is usually, you know, the eagle. We're able to start chelation therapy and fluids right away. And for the chelation therapy that we do here is pretty much like the same process for humans. But what it does is it pulls that lead out of the system and flushes it. So we have to do fluids. It's round the clock medical treatment for these birds.
What percentage of them survive?
It depends on the level. If it's off the charts, which just says high, there is a good chance that they will not survive because they also... they can't breathe properly. We try to get them on oxygen. And I usually will stay out here most of the night with them, monitoring them. But like the last eagle, about 4 o'clock in the morning, started having seizures and gasping for air. So that eagle, I euthanized right away because it was dying.
So you stayed there all night?
Yes.
Do you often do that?
Yes. Yep. I want to monitor them. I don't want them suffering. And I always have, you know, like I said, the fluids and the chelation therapy. We need to keep going and flush this out of their system. It's a very debilitating, it's a very sad, it's a very long and a very expensive rehabilitation for these eagles or any bird of prey that comes in with lead poisoning. And, you know, I personally need to monitor them. We put them on oxygen, but I want to make sure that they're not having seizures or suffering with nobody here. So I will stay here with them.
So you're talking about almost any animal that is in dire condition that you will spend the night and you will monitor on a minute-by-minute basis.
Yes.
Have you done that often?
Yes, I have, unfortunately. That's a long night, But it's important for me. And I just wish that I could have some of the sportsmen here to see this, because, you know, these animals are struggling to stand, they're falling over, they're scared, they're frightened. Their urates are like fluorescent green and it's just diarrhea everywhere. So it's, you know, keeping them clean, you know, and constantly monitoring them, trying to get them at least around the corner a little bit. But it's very heartbreaking to watch, and it's something that can, all it takes is a switch. That's it. A switch of ammunition.
So what animal or species do you see the most at Raven Ridge?
Red-tailed hawks.
And what injuries or illnesses are they suffering?
A lot of the red-tailed hawks are hit by cars. These guys are usually alongside the highway. They're up in the trees. They're on the light posts. And they will hunt the field voles, a lot of them like in the medium of the highway. So as soon as they see that mouse, they're coming down to get it, but they're not taking in consideration here comes a car. So a lot of them are hit by cars. First year hatches, which means it's time for you to go on your own now. So they're poor hunters. So they're starving. So we get a lot of those in here. Lead poisoning, when they are first year hatch and they're just kind of learning to be out on their own, they're looking for an easy meal. So they'll join the eagles a lot of time on carcasses and that. So yeah, I've gotten several in with lead poisoning. Now the other factor that we're dealing with now is high path avian flu. So you know, now we have protocols in place here at the center where we actually have to test every bird of prey and waterfowl for avian influenza. So now that's something else that they're facing.
That's actually how chickens or turkeys, a lot of times it is carried by waterfowl or wild birds.
And they're all now migrating back, so now they're bringing that with them. So the geese or swans that are dying from it, again, it's an easy meal. And that's how they're picking this up.
Raven Ridge is by appointment only, meaning that someone would have to make an appointment to bring an animal to you. What advice would you give to someone who finds an injured or a sick animal?
Always wear gloves. Okay. Get the animal in a box somewhere warm, dark, and quiet. Seal that box up. You know, you don't even have to worry about air holes. They'll be able to breathe. But, you know, the most important thing is do not handle the animal more than you have to. No food, no water. Do not try to administer any medical treatment. Because a lot of times, especially with birds of prey, they'll come to and you can end up getting hurt. But we always say, you know, there's a reason why there's not sandwiches on ambulances. You know, we try, that's our first instinct as humans, is when we find something that's ill or sick or injured, we need to take it home and we need to feed it. So we tell people, if you were put into an ambulance, would you want burgers and fries? So that would be the last thing on your mind, not to mention your body's in shock. So you're not going to be able to process that food. Some of these animals are emaciated. Feeding them, they may eat it, but that will send them into refeeding syndrome. So we, you know, just like us as humans, when you're in the ambulance or when you're in the hospital, you're on fluids. And that's the same thing that we do here at the center. These animals are on fluids for 24, 48 hours, you know, getting them stable before we even begin to introduce food. But just get them in a box, put them somewhere warm, dark, and quiet. You can text us on the phone. You can give us a call. We will definitely get back to you and when to schedule an appointment to bring the animal in.
Well, this is probably a good time to give your contact information to our listeners. If someone does want to contact you, how do they do it?
Sure. You can give us a call at the center at 717-808-2652. You can even message us on Facebook. You know, and just we ask, be patient because, you know, there's a lot of calls and there's a lot of messages that we're, you know, trying to get back to people. But we will definitely get back to you.
Tracy, we only have a minute left. The weather will be warming soon, and we'll see more spotted lanternflies. Now, to control this invasive pest, many are wrapping trees with adhesive tape to keep them from climbing the trees. Unfortunately, that sticky substance sometimes ensnares birds, too. What do you recommend in about a minute or less?
Oh, boy. We really discourage against the tape. You know, trying to squish the lantern flies or that. But the thing is in the spring and people leave this tape up all year long. And by 4th of July, these lantern flies can fly. So the tape needs to come down because baby animals like squirrels, opossums, snakes, all those are getting stuck to this lantern fly tape. You know, the woodpecker finds the struggling bug and then the hawk comes in. Everybody gets stuck to this. But by July 4th, those lantern flies can fly and the tape is not any good. It needs to come down. We get a lot of animals stuck on the tape.
Tracy Young is the founder, director, and rehabilitator at Raven Ridge Wildlife Rehabilitation. Tracy, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Spark on WITF, your home for NPR and discovering all things local. I'm Scott Lamar.